الصلاح يا الصلاح يا الفلاح يا الفلاح فتاهم في الصلاح فتاهم في الصلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر سبحان الله الحمد لله الشيطان الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم عين حسن العبادة. اللهم اللهم اشفنا واشف المرضى اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر واحشرنا. اللهم أرني الحق حقا واتباعه وأرنا الباطل. اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك يا حي يا قيوم لا إله إلا أنت بحمدك نستغيث. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين. صلى الله على نبينا محمد يا رب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So tonight inshallah we'll be speaking about Qurbani, the virtues of Qurbani and the rewards of Qurbani, the method of Qurbani and the do's and don'ts of what should be done, what shouldn't be done, etc. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last year of his life, In the last year of Rasulullah's life, he slaughtered 63 camels. And these 63 camels represented the 63 years of the life of Rasulullah. So one camel for every year. And Rasulullah then told the people, pick up whatever you want, meaning from those animals, take however much meat you want, but told Ali radiallahu anhu to take one portion from each of those animals, from each of those 63, put it into one deg, one big pot, and while they're being sacrificed, put one piece, and then from that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from that pot, where all 63 camels' meat was in one pot. And subhanAllah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slaughtering these camels, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started slaughtering, and the other camels, seeing that they were being slaughtered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, they started pushing one another that I want to be the next one to be slaughtered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that honor they wanted. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu salamu ala al-mubu'uthi rahmatin lil alameen wa ala alihi wa sahabihi wa tabaihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ahsanin ila yawmideen. Amma ba'd. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this word qurbani, we say qurbani or we call it udhiyya, what is it? What does it mean? Qurbani is a word that's generally used in India, Pakistan, those countries. The Arabic word for it is udhiyya. Qurbani comes from the word qurbana, to come close to. So you're seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the other meaning is apne aap ko qurban karna, to sacrifice yourself or to sacrifice something for somebody, some other reason. So where you're sacrificing something that is beloved to you for the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're sacrificing the sheep for the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are a few other types of sacrifice. One is the sacrifice that you do on Eid al-Adha. But there are a few other types of sacrifice. In the time of Jahiliyyah, in the Arab time before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before Islam, they had other kinds of sacrifices also. Some they sacrifice for certain gods, for certain idols, for whatever reasons that they wanted. Some were slaughtered with strange things linked to it. For example, they said, if we slaughter this animal for this god, for this goddess, for whatever, then it's haram for the ladies. So only the men can eat from it, the ladies can eat from it. Or if we this certain animal, if we slaughter it, only the ladies can eat from it, no men can eat from it. So very strange ideas and very strange things that they had with their slaughtering. And it was slaughtered obviously in the name of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But another way of sacrificing was the sacrifice that used to happen from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Is in the story of Adam alayhi salam's sons, when they had a dispute with Adam alayhi salam regarding which girl they needed to get married to, then Adam alayhi salam told them that you should sacrifice something that is beloved to you. So one of the sons, he took his best corn, he took his worst corn and he put it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his worst corn. And the other son, he takes his best sheep and puts it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But put it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how? So it's something called an altar, a high rock that you would put your things on and offer that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similar, if you think about it, other religions also have offerings to their God. But here, in the times before, up till Rasulullah's time, when you offered something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a fire came down from the sky, burnt it and took it away, if it was accepted. And if it wasn't accepted, it stayed right there. The sad part is, if it's accepted, everybody gets to see it, that's nice. But the bad part, if it's not accepted, everybody gets to see your disappointment sitting on that rock. Everybody gets to see your bad intention, your not clean intention, your not wholeheartedly giving it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of that, everybody gets to see it, which is unfortunate. Anyway, we are, just by the way, we are the only ummah which are allowed to eat from whatever we give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you say, I'm giving it for Allah, but you're still eating from it. So the only ummah that is allowed to eat from whatever we give to Allah and able to benefit from it. So some of the sacrifices that we do in Islam which are allowed is aqiqah. When is aqiqah done? When the newborn is born. And for a girl, how many sheep? One. And for a boy, two sheep. When the boy is getting inheritance, he also gets double. Anyway, then another one is qurbani, or on the day of Idul Adha. And another one is when there's in Hajj or in Umrah, if you do certain types of mistakes which are serious mistakes, then you have to sacrifice an animal. And the last one would be in Hajj, if you do the two, the Umrah and Hajj together, then you have to sacrifice an animal out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being able to do both in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So when do we do this qurbani? On the 10th, 11th, and the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, these 3 days. So the day of Eid in the 2 days following it. It starts after the Eid Salah until the Maghrib of the 12th. Now, the Qurbani is after the Eid Salah. But I'm just going to give you a fun fact. If you live in a place that doesn't have Eid Salah, when do you do your slaughtering? Straight away in the morning. Wake up to your Fajr, start slaughtering. If there's no Eid Salah in your place, slaughter. So how come there would be no Eid Salah? If you live in a farm or village or something and there's less than 40 people and there's no Eid Salah happening there, you don't have to travel miles and miles to find an Eid Salah. You can, it would be good, but you don't have to. And you could just start with your qurbani. That would be your Eid. If there's too few Muslims to do the Eid Salah, then carry on. Then, so where did this start from? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadhi al-adahi? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this sacrifice? Because obviously there was all these other sacrifices that they saw before Islam. And now they're seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it. So they asked, what are you doing? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sunnat abikum Ibrahim. This is the sunnah of Nabi Ibrahim. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was tested with, or he was ordered with this in a dream for 3 nights consecutively. He saw himself slaughtering his son. In the Quran, many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it, but in Surah Safat it's a bit more detailed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim alayhi salam saw, and Ibrahim alayhi salam understood that this was the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his son that this is what they've seen. So Ismail says, then do as you've been ordered to do. So now the father and son, they go to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they go, and as they're going, Shaitan tries to deter them and take them away from practicing and take them away from the resolve of doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do. So he comes to whisper, like he does to us. So Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam picked up stones and stoned him. Then again he came and they stoned him a second time. And again he came a third time and they stoned him a third time. So this is where exactly the same places were in Hajj at the Jamarat, where we used to stone the shaitan, we stoned that wall, is the same place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had stoned. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he takes Ismail alayhi salam, he tries to cut him, tries to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine how difficult this is. You waited almost 100 years for a son. You waited almost 100 years for a son. You get a son, he's beloved to you, and Allah tells you, sacrifice him. Just when he becomes useful to you, he's now around 16 years old, he's healthy, he's strong, he can do something, he can help you. Say, right, cut him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just trying to see that who do you love more? Will you love me? Will you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love your son more? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just testing to see where is the love falling. So Ibrahim salam tries to cut, the knife doesn't cut. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces Ismail salam with a ram from Jannah. Some ulama say that it was the same sheep that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's sons had offered for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one which was accepted, the other one gave the corn and it wasn't accepted. So this was the same sheep which was accepted, now brought back by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we do it, we are practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was just tested and he passed the test. And this became an established sunnah for our ummah. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he had to give up his beloved son. What do we have to give up? Just some money, isn't it? Because you're still getting meat. So, when we slaughter him, when we are slaughtering, we should try to slaughter something which is most beloved to us. That would be the ideal qurbani. Something, the best qurbani, the best offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something where this was close to us. So if it's possible that you have the sheep, you keep it, and you have an attachment with this animal. And now when you love this animal and it becomes part of your family, now to sacrifice it becomes more difficult. Now to give it up is much more difficult. So that would be most ideal. Now, the rules of qurbani, who has to do the qurbani? According to Hanafi, it's wajib on every adult who is sane, who is baligh, who is a resident, meaning he's not on a journey, and he has the nisab, approximately 350 pounds, or excess on the day of 9th Zilhijjah. And that person will have to do the qurban. So the husband has to do his own, wife has to do her own. So if she has the amount, the husband doesn't have the amount, the wife has to do her own qurbani. If there's adult children, they have to do their own. If they have the money, if maybe dad doesn't have the money, but the children have, they have to do it. It's wajib on them. And according to Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbali, it's sunnah mu'akkada for every household. So according to Hanafi, it would be much more strict. It's wajib. According to them, it's sunnah mu'akkada, meaning it's a stressed upon sunnah. And for them, every household, one animal is enough. So the whole family, one animal is enough. If a person is on a journey, is traveling, you don't have to do qurban. If a person is poor, but they do have an animal, so they own animals and they want to do the qurbani, they have the means, or maybe they don't have the nisab amount but they can afford an animal, they still want to do it, then voluntarily from their own side it would be still good too, and it would still be a great reward for doing this. So when we choosing the animal, what kind of animal do we choose? If it's a camel, then it has to be a minimum of 5 years old. And how many shares 7 people can share in one camel? A cow, buffalo, bull, those kind of animals, at least minimum of 2 years old. And here also 7 people can share. When we say 7 people can share, all 7 of the people who are taking a share in that animal all have to be with the intention of some ibadah. So they're not doing the sacrifice just because they want meat, but either you're doing it for akika, either you're doing it for sadaqah, either you're doing it for qurbani. You can't have some other intention. Then, if it's a smaller animal like a goat or a sheep, then one animal per person. And one animal per person, if it's a goat, it has to be about 1 year old. And if it's a sheep, it has to be preferably 1 year old. But if it's over 6 months old and it looks big enough when it's among other one-year-old sheep, it looks big enough to mix with them and looks like them, then it's also okay. Subhanallah. I just thought of something. Nowadays, they feed these sheep, these kinds of feeds which grow them so big that when they're a few months old, they already look quite big. So then they do tend to look, even if they're a few months old, they do look at least a year old. I slaughtered one sheep about 2 years ago. It was about 6 months old only, but it was 60 kilos. big sheep, mashallah. But obviously it's been fed a special diet and a special feed to make it grow quickly. At the same time, the year before that, I slaughtered a sheep which was only grass-fed. They let it free and it only eats grass. It was probably just about half the size, and it was a year old. Which one tasted better? The grass-fed one. Because it doesn't feed things. And the fat also is nicer. You know, normally we don't like the cherby, the fat. It's too chewy. But if it's grass-fed, it's not chewy. It's soft and it's sweet. Very big difference. Very, very big difference. Even in the health, it's very, very different. Anyway, now when we're offering something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before I tell you about offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to tell you a story. So, the story is called Isme Bi Khair Hai. Isme Bi Khair Hai. So, there was a king who had a friend, very, very close. They did a lot of things together, but the friend had a habit of always saying Isme Bi Khair Hai. There's also some goodness in it. So, whatever happened, he always used to say there must be some goodness in it. So, one day, the king says to his friend, let's go hunting. So the friend says, okay. Now, as they're getting ready, the king is cleaning his gun. By mistake, he shoots his thumb off. And the king says, no, I've shot my thumb off. The friend says to him, Isme Bi Khair Hai. There must be some goodness in it. The king gets upset at him. I lost my finger. You telling me there must be goodness in it? He says, lock him up. He's crazy, this guy. So they lock the friend up. And now, the king, he carries on, he gets his fingers fixed up and whatever, and then he carries on with his hunting trip. And when he goes for the hunting trip, some cannibals get hold of the hunting party. So they caught the king and they said, this one will make a nice sacrifice. So they wanted to sacrifice the king for their god. So they kept him, they fed him nicely, which we're supposed to do for our qurbani, you know? Look after, feed nicely, make him fat. So they did all of that, like Hansel and Gretel's story, you know? So now, made him nice and big. And then, they said, right, the day came now, we're going to slaughter you. But now, they just went once over, let's just check last, make sure he's perfect for the sacrifice. And they looked and said, ah no, something's wrong, his thumb is broken. His thumb is damaged. We can't slaughter this. It's imperfect. So they let him out. He told him, hey, get lost from here. So the king goes back home. Anyway, he misses his friend. He tells his friend. He takes a friend out of the prison. He tells the friend the whole story. So the friend tells him, Isme Bi Khair Hai. There's still goodness in it. So what do you mean? They almost ate me up. He says, look, if your thumb didn't get shot off, they would have eaten you. So then he says, but you know, you should have been with me. He says, no, it was good I was in prison. What do you mean? No, there must be some goodness in it. The king says, what do you mean, what goodness? So well, if they caught you and they saw that your thumb was not perfect, then they would have taken me. Because I would have been with you. So he said, no, there was goodness. So same way in this story, like how they look for perfection for their god. Same way when we are slaughtering, we're giving something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give something which is the best. Sacrifice those things which are the best. So when we're slaughtering, the animal can't be lame. It can't be blind. It should not be sick. It mustn't be so thin and so weak. And it shouldn't be that it's got missing teeth or horns broken off, or most of its tail cut off, or most of its ear cut off, or there's holes in the ear, and these kind of things. Obviously for tagging it, it's a different story, but generally it's not a damaged animal. It should be as perfect as possible. And the more healthy and well-fed the animal is, the better the reward. Now again, I'm going to tell you a story. So many of us, we like to send our qurbani somewhere else. We have no idea what kind of qurbani they're doing. So I'm going to tell you a real story. One of my father's friends, they used to go with my father to do qurbani overseas also. One day they met some other group in South Africa. It's a famous, like, this group of people who do qurbani. And apparently they do it in a place called Rajasthan in India. And theirs was the cheapest qurbani. So basically anybody could afford a qurbani. It was like a few hundred rand for a share. A few hundred rand is a few pounds for you guys, like 10, 20 pounds. You know, just small, small share of money. And that was your share of an animal. And for a little bit more than that, you got the whole cow. So subhanAllah, if you couldn't afford somewhere, you just sent your qurbani there, and it was really cheap. So a lot of people did it. So one day, my father's friend was in this mall, and these people had the setup where they were advertising for this qurbani. So my father's friend was just asking, how do you guys do it at such a cheap price? So the youngster who was there, apparently he was the son of the person who started it, who started that group of qurbani. So the youngster told that in India, you can't slaughter cows. So what happens is, when the cows become so old that they're no longer useful, they're not giving milk, they're not beneficial to anybody, and they're too weak to plow the land or whatever, so what they do, they send them all to the desert, so that they can gracefully die. So that they'll die by themselves. But the rule is, because there's so many cows being sent to this desert, that in the desert area, if somebody takes those cows, looks after them, it becomes yours for free. So this person, Hazrat, in South Africa, he found a loophole. He says, look, I pay somebody in India, he just has to gather these cows for 1 or 2 months before Qurbani time. He shows the authorities that I've been looking after them, I've been feeding them, etc., etc. And I sell shares in South Africa. So the son is telling that my father does this. He doesn't work the whole year. The only thing he does is does qurbani once in a year, mashallah. Nice money. So he does this. And he makes such a big amount of money, because this, basically these cows are for free. But now really think deep down in your heart. When we are doing qurbani, we're doing sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our offering in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you sending? Old cows which were deemed useless? So old that nobody wanted them? And this is what you say. No, mashallah, I've done my qurbani. I even done a whole cow. So really, really deep down, think to yourself, what am I offering in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And my father used to like to say, you know, that on the day of Qiyamah, the thing that's going to help you cross the sirat is your animal of qurbani. I heard my father say this in Jummah khutbahs many, many times. And so broken cars, you know, when the car is like not working and it's always breaking down and whatever, we call them skoro skoro. So he says, do you want a skoro skoro animal taking you across the pulsirat that's going to get stuck halfway and then it's going to start overheating? We don't want that. So same way, don't send skoro skoro qurbanis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want broken qurbanis in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't send something which is not worth it for yourself. Would you eat such an old cow? Really, think about it. Would you eat from that? So when you're sending in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give whatever is the best. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he slaughtered horned animals, male rams, which had horns, preferably in certain hadith say, where the face was black, around the eyes and around the mouth was black, and the legs were black. And there's a few different breeds of sheep, which are like this. Some, the cutest one is called a Valai black nose. It's very cute. You must see it. Very, very cute, subhanAllah. Then, they're very expensive though. They're very expensive. Then, I think it's in the £1,000. They're really pricey. Then, there's something called Abel Black, Scottish Black Face, Zwart Place. There's lots. Norfolk, Hampshire, others. So if we are doing Qurbani and we want to sacrifice the best, why not follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Try to, whenever possible, to choose that which is closest to what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed. Now, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing the Qurbani on the day of Eid, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his daughter, that Fatima radiallahu anha, get up, something to respect, get up and go and see your sacrifice. Some ladies, they sacrifice their own. They, alhamdulillah, you know, they're not scared. But if you can't, at least be there to witness your qurbani being done. The least you could do is be a witness to your qurbani being done. So Rasulullah tells Fatima radiallahu anha, go and see. And Rasulullah then tells her that the reward, that your reward, that this sheep will be multiplied by 70 times on the day of Qiyamah in the scales. And it will become this huge bulk on your scale, in your scale of deeds. So a Sahabi who was hearing this, he asked Rasulullah, is that only special for your family? Because obviously we know Rasulullah's family is special. So Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's special for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the whole ummah. So every one of us, our sheep, our animal, our sacrifice would be multiplied so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, they asked him, what do we get from it? What do we get from this sacrifice? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every hair on this animal, there is a reward. So they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fasufu ya Rasulullah, what about the one that has wool? It's not hair, it's wool. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every strand, for every fiber of that wool, you'll get the reward. Now imagine just on a few centimeters of hair on our head. How many hair is there? A good few hundred, maybe close to 1,000 hair in a small square space. I'm not asking the bald uncles. Those who have lots of hair. Now same on a sheep. Sheep don't generally go bald. So how much hair would be on that? For every single strand of hair, there'll be reward. So the more woolly the sheep, the more reward you'll get, inshallah. So when we sacrifice, try to sacrifice whatever is the best that you can afford, something that would be good. And then also, when do we do it? We do the qurbani after the Eid Salah, and we try to witness it ourselves, or try to sacrifice it yourself. Obviously, I know that in this country there's rules and regulations, but where it is possible, do it. At least once in your life, if you're overseas, if you're somewhere where it is possible, then do it yourself. Alhamdulillah, where I come from, we do it a lot. Very, very common. Everybody does it. You can do it in your backyard. Allah rewards, subhanAllah. There was a Mawlana who used to stay behind my house. And I know Qurbani time, many people take advantage. It's a money-making time where they use this as an opportunity to make a lot of money. And they, normally the sheep is a certain price. Qurbani time, the sheep is almost double the price. This Mawlana, he noticed this. And he said, I know some farmers. So he drove about 1,400 kilometers. About 1,000 miles approximately. He drove with his truck. He brought sheep from there. And he said, I'm going to sell them exactly on the price I bought them. So he only charged that amount and the petrol, nothing else. He said, I want people to be able to afford a good qurbani. SubhanAllah. And those were grass-fed. Beautiful sheep, subhanAllah. Beautiful. Small in size. But the meat was something else. SubhanAllah. So there are certain people who want to make it easy for others. There's others who use it as an opportunity to make money, but at the same time you make it so extortionate that those people who do want to do the qurbani, maybe it's not wajib on them, maybe it's nafil, But they're unable to afford the nafil. They're unable to afford it voluntarily because it's too much. The best is to slaughter the animal yourself. The best would be to, if not, you at least witness the qurbani yourself, and that you eat from the meat of your own animal. Because this was the sunnah of Rasulullah. What used to be at first was the inside organs. So the liver, those kind of things, the heart, and then these cook quickly. So they used to cook this for Rasulullah quickly, and this was eaten first. So that's why this should be done in following the sunnah of Rasulullah. And subhanAllah, if you go to other countries, it's a really easy process. It's not difficult. If they do it often and it's a place that knows what they're doing, it's streamlined. Within a few minutes, you're done. Literally, in 20 minutes, it's clean. Skin off, everything done. Everything washed even. SubhanAllah. So, really, where I was Imam before, they used to cut about 300, 400 sheep. In the first day, done. Well, quick. And then the next day, they'll do cows and bigger animals. Quick. Anyway, then when we're doing, we read in the dua, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. When you're slaughtering, the adab and the method would be to try and face the Qibla. The animals should face the Qibla. You try to preferably put the ears over the eyes. When you do that, the animal becomes really calm. You try to be calm with the animal. When you are aggressive, the animal becomes aggressive. If you are calm, the animal realizes that you don't mean any harm. You just walk with it, it will walk with you, inshallah. In most cases. And then, when you sacrifice, you read the du'as, you make your intention pure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, in certain countries I've seen, they beautify the sheep so much. There was one neighbor of ours, he used to take the sheep home, he washed the whole sheep, shining white, used to put mehndi designs on it, put flowers on it and everything, and then bring it to slaughter. SubhanAllah, very beautiful. So some people, they really make it an occasion, which is beautiful. It's going in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it beautiful. And then, the knife should be extremely sharp so that you don't cause any difficulty to the animal at all. So quick and easy. When you take long, you give suffering to the animal. When you're slaughtering, you don't slaughter one animal in front of the other animal. One animal that is being sacrificed shouldn't see the other animal that is being sacrificed. So there should be some curtain, some cover between the two so that they don't see each other. Even when you bring the next animal, the blood should be washed away so that they don't see and smell the blood. When you're sharpening your knife, mashallah, to make it nice and sharp for the quick job, don't sharpen your knife also in front of the animal. All of this causes stress and difficulty to the animal. Then, well, when you've done your qurbani, it's preferable, it's not wajib or fard, but it's preferable that you keep a portion for yourself, a portion for your friends and neighbors, and a portion for the poor, but you are allowed to fully keep all of it for yourself. Then, this is not like zakat, you can share with kuffar. So if you have neighbors who are non-Muslim, you can share with them also. And it might be a means of dawah to them also. And then, the skin of the animal, you're not allowed to sell it for profit. So you can't sell it and make some money, but you can use it for yourself, or you can donate it, or you sell it and give the money away. Now, in South Africa, what they do is you would collect all those skins, and then the big darulums, they take it and they send it to a tannery, and they would sell it to the tannery, whatever money they get, the madrasa keeps it. Because most people are not using those skins, so at least it gets used in something, it doesn't get thrown away. And instead of that, at least somebody in the madrasa makes some money from that. Then, if you've missed the days of the qurbani and it became wajib on you to do it, then you can't do the sacrifice out of those days. What you have to do is you take the value of that money of the animal and you pay it out in sadaqah, in charity. And then if a person makes a vow, they take a qasam that if certain things happen, then I'll slaughter an animal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in that case you're not allowed to eat from the animal. If you took a vow that I'm going to sacrifice, if my daughter gets married, if somebody gets shifa, if this happens, whatever your intention was, then I'll sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are not allowed to eat from it. Then all of the meat has to be given away. And you can sacrifice for somebody else. So, example, you want to sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe you want to slaughter for your grandparents, maybe somebody that passed away, whatever. If you want to sacrifice for somebody in your family that's alive, for example, your wife or your brother or somebody else, you have to tell them that you're doing it. You have to tell them that you're doing it. And then, when you are sacrificing, if you know that you are going to sacrifice, obviously sometimes what happens is, you are not sure that you're going to sacrifice. You maybe don't have the money at that time, and you think you're not going to do it. But then the night before, you suddenly got some money, you sold something or whatever, somewhere somebody gave you a gift, or I don't know, whatever. You happen to get some money the day before, and now it becomes wajib on you. Then you have to do it the next day. But if you knew from before, then preferably from the 10 days of Zulhijjah, not to cut your hair and not to cut your nails. Because you want to make yourself look similar to those people who are in Hajj. And this is mustahab for Hanafi. For Shafi'i, it's strongly recommended. So it's much more stronger for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed for the whole ummah, so it is best for us to also sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nowadays, most of us, because of rules and regulations, we don't get to see the qurbani, we don't get to witness, we don't get to do any of these things. We just send the money overseas. What happens is, now it seems like just a sadaqah. Now we are so disconnected from the sunnah that it seems like just a sadaqah, like just some money that you have to give. So subhanAllah, as I was preparing this, I got a story that somebody sent an email to me. And I thought, subhanAllah, just as I was preparing it and I was writing it and I saw this and I was like, subhanAllah, how fitting. In this story, I thought, subhanAllah, I'll share with you, inshallah. So there was this youngster who was growing up in America, and he said that I never ever understood why they called Eid al-Adha Bara'id, or in Arabic, Eid al-Akbar, or Eid al-Kabir. Why did they call it the bigger Eid? Whereas, Ramadan time, you fasted the whole month, you were hungry the whole month, now you got to party, makes sense. But the other Eid, you did nothing, and all you did was you got a day off from school, you went to do one extra salah, you got a lot of hugs from everybody, you went home. So I didn't see, why was it called a big Eid, whereas this one had less activities, and the first Eid had a whole bunch of things happening before it. So I didn't understand as I was growing up. Then he said, one day, my father took me to Eid Salah outside some area like further out of the city. And from there, after the Eid Salah, he drove about 35 miles out somewhere and he went to some farm. The farmer had apparently advertised that he's going to do qurbani. So they get there and they see no other Muslims, and this non-Muslim person had advertised that he's going to do qurbani, and he is the one saying that he is going to slaughter, not the Muslims. So the father was a bit upset that, look, we came all the way here, you know. Turned around, went back home, because the guy refused to let the Muslim people slaughter. So he goes back. So that was his effort of trying to slaughter, and it didn't work. After some time, the son told the father, like the next year, he says to the father, you know what, why don't you just go to the butcher shop and order a qurbani? So the father goes, he orders a qurbani. The day of Eid, the son tells the father, can you call the shop and ask them if our qurbani is done? They call, nobody answers. They think, maybe they're busy with the qurbani, so just leave them. Second day, third day, nobody answers. 2 weeks later, the shop answers. So they ask, what about our qurbani? They say, sorry, we didn't do it. If you want, we can give you a refund. So the father is getting upset, like, every time I try to do this, like, actually try to do it, it's not getting us anywhere. So anyway, then they move to another area. So then, this youngster, he says, I was now a bit older, says, then we went to some place, and again we tried, and again we were put off by some other crazy circumstance where it was not possible to do it. So they advertised it, we went there and nothing. So he says, now I just upset. So he says, after 3 times, you know, where this kind of things are happening, where every time you actually try, say, only then, after that, we went to a place outside of Washington, and we found some place where we could actually do the Qurbani, and then we stuck to that, where every year we used to go there and do the Qurbani. So he says, my father was not an alim, he was not some pious man or something, he's just an ordinary man trying to do the Qurbani. But he found so much of difficulty. So, subhanallah, we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't have that difficulties. We have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we still have those means where it's getting done. But at the same time, I will tell you, coming from a country where it is possible, there's a lot you guys are missing out on. And unfortunately, I feel sad that my children would now grow up in this way they don't get to see. Subhanallah. So, when, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard this before me coming here, was that on Christmas Day, people in England, Muslims in England, have a family dinner and they eat turkey. Really, I heard this. So on Christmas Day, we are following the Christians. Not saying the turkey is haram, not saying your family gathering is haram, but to do it so similar to them, you know? At the same time, what's our ritual is not allowed. For us to follow their ritual, mashallah, we do it. For us to follow what's our rituals, we don't even try. I'm not saying it's impossible. I am very sure there must be a way. If we try hard enough, there would be a way to do it. There would be some method of getting to do it, or at least getting close enough to do it. So we should not give up, and we should try to do it in the closest method to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end with the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's not your blood, it's not their blood, and not the meat that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the taqwa that the person has that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.